The first ever summit between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un is over, with a pledge to hold more talks on the pledge to denuclearise. But what progress is likely to be made on improving human rights in the Hermit State? Dr. Binoy Kamp-Mark of RMIT University says Donald Trump's backers would have wanted him to raise religious freedoms in the talks. He's speaking here to RN's Andrew West.
It goes back actually to a particular missionary zeal which was expressed in China, in Korea in the 19th century. Certainly US missionaries spent time proselytizing and certainly spending time in Korea proper and creating a bit of a foothold that was to a certain extent affected, of course, after the Second World War and then with the emergence of the division of the North and the South. So the evangelical base is certainly something that is very important in this regard, and I certainly think that some of Trump's backers, as you point out, would be interested in seeing the issue of religious freedom amongst a host of other civil liberty issues dealt with in the context of negotiation.
Do we know if there is a latent religious sensibility in North Korea or not?
Well, it's an interesting point in terms of how that sensibility is gauged. There's certainly a religious sensibility, but it is, of course, the sensibility associated with the Juche dogma, which is sort of a transferal of a religion from the divine to the secular, namely the Kim family. So, of course, the state doctrine emphasizes worship and reverence for the Kim family and for Kim Jong-un, and, of course, the idea that this sort of cult of personality. But I think it's very important to note that the North has historically had an interest in the idea of the religious association, primarily from a tactical and strategic perspective. In the 1980s, when China was opening up and North Korea felt a bit beleaguered by changes happening, they were trying to find ways of accommodating and creating links with other countries, and one of those was to pursue actually some kind of religious link. So they would actually, and during the 80s, legitimized officially, for example, the Bible. The Bible was actually printed and distributed in Korean. And then the other issue was the establishment of churches in Pyongyang. So that was another feature of this particular movement.
Binoy, am I correct in recalling that of the very limited number of non-government organizations that operate in North Korea, I think there's a Christian hospital or a Christian medical clinic, and there's a couple of Christian schools. Is that right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. There are a couple of institutions that are officially deemed Christian ones. And of course, the cynics and the critics will say that this is simply part of the window dressing that has been typical of Pyongyang's PR policy for decades. They have made a point of making sure that, for example, they show progress in certain areas. And one of them, of course, is to show that they have a certain tolerance, so there are certain institutions that are run that way. One of them actually, the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, does have a Christian bent, but it's been in trouble this year because a few academics associated with that institute have been detained, but these are from the United States. So it's one of those things where they do exist, but they're being heavily policed and monitored.
One of the things that I found fascinating was the Kim family's own connection to religion. Don't we go back just a couple of generations to find some pretty devout Presbyterians in the ruling Kim family?
It's a very strong Presbyterian link, and certainly, for example, mother of Kim Il-sung, the founder, was actually very much connected with religion, a Presbyterian figure of some note, and also the great relatives, as it were connected with being Presbyterian officials in a broader sense. So I think it's very interesting to point out that the commemorative dimension of Kim Il-sung and the Kim family to this legacy has been reflected by, for example, renovations and attention being made to the church of the Chilgol, as it were, which is the one connected with the Kim family. So for all of that and for all of the dogmas associated with the cult of personality, there is still an acceptance about this particular family tradition.
I always love it when we have these stories on RN. I would never have thought of interrogating that idea, but absolutely fascinating. Asia analyst Dr. Binoy Kamp-Mark of RMIT University. You can hear more of that story at 5:30 this afternoon on the Religion and Ethics Report right here on RN or wherever you get your podcasts from.